Praise God.
It's all right. I got you.
Amen. Well, good evening and welcome to Only Believe right here at Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo. I think we're having one of those deja vu moments, right? When something's happened and you said, hey, is this happening? You know, it's like I've been through this a second time already. But anyhow, I just want to thank you for being here. And I was going to tell you that it is an absolute essential part of our faith to join ourselves together. You know, as a church, I want you to know that you are responsible for your individual salvation. You know, the Bible says study to show yourself approved. But the Bible also says that we need to join ourselves together. And the Bible says that we need to do it and be careful to make sure we're doing it in an assertive way, even more so as we see the day approaching. I want you to know something. At a time where the church and everybody has been challenged, I need you to make sure that you sacredly take God's way to the next level. You know, we remember that he died on the cross for each of us, but in Ephesians chapter 4, he says that I also ascend to give you gifts, pastors, preachers, teachers, and how do you access that? By being in the church. Do you remember why God took the people out of Egypt? He took his people out of Egypt because they were being oppressed, but why did he do it? Moses said, we have got to go to establish a sanctuary, and as a congregation, we don't know everything we're going to need to worship God. And I want you to know something, that as an individual, I want you to be strong in your faith. I believe that when we leave the house and when we leave church, we should, as an individual, be able to walk strong for God, just like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But I also want you to know that you coming together as a church is just like when a military force would return to base or return to camp. Why? So they could be refreshed and they could rest and let their guard down and be in a safe place so they could be restored and refreshed. And I tell you what, as we worship together, you're going to feel a refreshing of the Lord. As we stand together, you're going to feel a strengthening. I'm going to tell you something. I'm just back from vacation, and as fun as it was and as much fun as we had, I want you to know that my honey said to me, honey, I'm ready to get back. And I knew what she meant. We're ready to be with our family and worship God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Woo.
Amen. Well, stand your feet with us tonight.
Friend.
We're forever changing. He never changes. We're changing. We're changing from who we were. If you think about who you are when you first got saved, it is not who you are today. Amen? There's so much more peace. There's deliverance. There's freedom that we've never had before. And listen, if you've ever fallen, if you've ever been a sinner, so I'm talking to everybody, because we all have, no more. We're children of God. I hate when people say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner saved by grace, which made me a child of the living God. Amen? Amen. I'm a child now. I'm an inherited child now. His bloodline is my bloodline. But what I'm saying to you is that there's things that caused you to stumble and fall in the past. There's things that tripped you up. And you've overcome those. And you've, with the help of the Lord, we've gotten over that. Guess what the devil will bring back around to you at some point? Guess what's going to try to tempt you again? Is he really safe? Is he really set free? Is he really over this? Is he really? Let's just throw this obstacle right in there. Listen, and isn't it for you to say, what have I done wrong? That this thing is coming back on me, that I feel this thing, like I sense it's here. I see it. I have these feelings that I haven't had for a long time. Listen, it's all about your response. At this point, you've been set free. He whom the Son sets free is what?
Free
indeed. Just walk in it. You haven't done anything wrong. You're chasing after God. He's chasing after you. Guess who's going to get to their final destination? Woo! It's you!
What?
tonight. We're going to build our life upon the love, upon our firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ.
chorus again, just voices.
Great is your faithfulness.
Come on, from the rising sun.
From the rising sun to the setting sun, I will praise your.
From the rising sun.
From the rising sun to the setting sun, I will praise your name. 'Cause great is your faith.
Is your faithfulness, Lord God. Great is your faithfulness. You know, Pastor preached on the children of Israel going into Jericho.
Praise God.
Remember that on Sunday? Amazing message. And as he's sitting there and he's talking about how all they did was the worshipers went out and the people went out behind them for 7 days. 7 days. Obedience didn't say no word, wasn't complaining. But then I got another revelation on that, which I've probably heard before, but it just really just hit me in the gut. There were giants in that city. You understand this, right? We all know the Bible, right? There were giants in
Amen.
That city.
Praise God.
So, Shane, I can't help it. You're tall. Shane's not a giant, but Shane is tall. Come here, Shane. I just want to give you a visual because sometimes visuals work so well. Come here, buddy. They were giants. Well, I don't really need Zeke, do I?
Praise God.
We'll give a better picture. But they were giants. Giants in the city, walking around the city. Okay, you can sit down. Thank you. They didn't have a sword. They didn't have a weapon. They didn't have anything. Imagine, just picture it. The giants are getting ready to be attacked. They've said we're grasshoppers in their sight. They knew who the Israelites were. They knew what their God had done before in the past. The Israelites are marching around with just a worship team before them. Just a worship team before them. No weapons, no defensive weapons, no offensive, no weapons. What army is going to be surrounded by a people that have nothing on them and not attack? But God. That is how big our God is. That's how amazing our God is. They didn't go out and attack. They didn't do anything. They sat there while they watched those crazy people walk around that thing. So they thought, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall every time they came out and walked around it and then left. Could you imagine? Like, I want to know. I'm going to ask them when I get to heaven. What were they saying? I'm going right to, I know her name. I just can't think of it right now.
Rahab.
I'm going right to Rahab and say, what were they saying?
Mm.
When they were walking around after I see Jesus. But I want to know, Rahab, what were they saying? What were they saying? What was it like? The Israelites knew their deliverance was coming because their God had already told them and had already prophesied and already promised them deliverance was coming.
Amen.
But your enemy already knows he's a defeated foe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your enemy already knows that he can throw anything he wants at you, but he is done.
Amen.
It's been signed, sealed, and delivered the day Jesus rose from the grave.
Hallelujah.
When he died and he rose again. Amen.
Yep.
Walk in your victory. Walk in your victory. Amen. Know that like the children of Israel, no matter what the assignment, no matter where he's sending you, no matter what you're going through, you're protected.
Praise God.
He protected them without being around them at all.
Amen. Amen.
They didn't raise a sword. They didn't come after them. They didn't fight them. They just sat in that city and watched it be destroyed.
Hallelujah.
Because
Amen.
Your God
Amen.
Can do things that we can't, right?
Amen.
Because He does amazing things, things Amen. That blow our mind.
Yep.
Greater things than we can ever think
Amen.
Or imagine. Because if you come walking around me like that, looking like you're trying to do something, you're going down.
Hey, it's like, I felt like she was giving me a personal message.
No, who was a fighter in here? You letting an enemy surround you?
No.
You letting an enemy intimidate you?
No.
Mm-mm. Listen, I was a fighter. And I got a revelation of how, like, I know how big God is, but you know how He just pushes things at you and says, look at this. Look what I did here. Look what I did there. If I did it for them, I'll do it for you.
Amen.
If He protected them and walking around that city for 7 days,
Amen.
He's going to protect you. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And they're not going to come near you.
Praise God.
It's not going to touch you.
Amen.
It's not going to come near you.
Amen.
Woo!
Praise
I'm
God.
Excited. Amen. I'm excited about the word you have.
Amen. Praise God.
Are you done with me?
No.
What do you need?
I just need you to stand beside me.
I've been doing this for 2 weeks. I need to get a break.
Looking
Three
good.
Weeks. I was telling people, I was telling Chad and Jessica that somehow I became the social butterfly for two
yes.
weeks in Aruba. Y'all know me.
It was
like
miraculous.
I talk to people I know. We don't know hardly. We knew two people there.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Yep.
Except for the workers.
Yeah.
We knew two people there. And I usually have people that are with us that buffer the people talking
mm-hmm.
so that I can really rest
yeah.
and really.
Mm-hmm.
No,
yeah.
I was talking to people.
Yeah. This is what she
Y'all,
normally
something's
does
happening.
When people
pray
come.
For me. Yeah. Or put my glasses on, act like
yeah.
I'm sleeping.
And everybody else talk. But yeah,
so I do
just,
really fall asleep.
You were just talking and making friends.
I'm telling you.
Amen.
Listen, we loved on everybody there. God
yep.
was just so gracious to us that we
God
came across.
God did some miracles. We
yes.
prayed for
yes.
people, and they would come up and say, oh, my goodness, I feel, yeah, my back
Amen.
Feels so much better.
Amen.
Amen.
God is faithful. So we're glad to be back, mm-hmm. though. We missed you all so much.
Amen.
Can I go now? You good?
Do you really want to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, I want to remind you that this Saturday at 9 o'clock, right?
Amen.
We're doing our new members class, and we have some people signed up. It's going to be a great time together. Amen. And then I just want you to know that Sunday is going to be a great time in the Word, and God is going to just be touching and blessing us and doing what He does. Amen. I think, what
And
am
make
I
sure you come in the side door.
Oh.
Y'all know where the teen room is, right there in the corner, and then there's a side door that's right by the teen room. Just come in that side door. We're not going to unlock the main doors.
Yes.
So just come in the side doors. There will be worship practice going on after you guys start, so just our practices are closed, so we'll be in here with the doors closed.
We're going to be having so much fun.
Huh?
I said, we're going to be having so much
fun. They won't
want to
come
probably,
over?
Yeah, they won't even want to come over and
Good
see
luck,
you guys.
Y'all. Good luck. No, I'm just kidding. It's going to be fun, I promise.
Praise the Lord. Are you ready to go? Amen. Praise God. I look like they're all ready to go, too. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, right now we're going to do offering. And you know what? I'm just going to give us a few moments to sit here quietly. And I want you to consider on your own why you give and why you tithe. And I want you on your own to just sit here in just a few minutes. These guys can play music. And then they're going to bring the buckets up. And then you're just going to put them in. And when you're done, I might pray first. And then we'll just have a few minutes of just quiet time, and then you just bring your offering up. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you that each of us has a personal revelation of who you are, God. That we give because we worship you. We give because we believe in you. We give because we thank you. And God, we give and knowing, God, that this is a place of provision, protection, a place of where you work and just do abundantly in our lives, Father. And Lord, we're just thankful. And I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, tonight is going to be just a reverencing night as I share some things with you, just because I believe that in this time in which we're living, we just really need to be aware of God. And we really need to be aware of who we are. See, I want you to know something that I was just praying and the Lord was just telling me that we seem to be living in days where people are easily offended. Where people are easily offended, easily angered, you know, it's tense times. People are very pressured, it's just a time. And I want you to know that that is extremely dangerous. And I'm going to talk about offense tonight, and I'm going to talk about it in two arenas because it exists in two arenas. And I want to make sure that we distinguish between the two because there's a verse in Luke chapter 17 where the Lord is speaking. And it says, then he said unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, as thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. I want you to understand something here, that this arena of offense is different than the arena of offense we're going to be concentrating on, because this kind of offense says that, like when someone does an offense that breaks the law and causes them to be in jail, okay? It's a crime. It's illegal. It's an unlawful act. It's a breach. It's a violation. It's a wrong. It's an act of misconduct. It's purposeful in its intent. It's aggression, and it is an attack. So the Lord is sitting here declaring that people who bring offenses upon others and do hateful, wrong things for them, steal from them, abuse them, all kinds of things, those are offenses that the Lord says it would be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck than for you to offend one of the least little ones. In other words, sinful, egregious, wrongful acts make it much harder for those who are afflicted to find God. I mean, sometimes the Lord, but let me tell you something, nothing's impossible to God, amen? But I will tell you, oftentimes the Lord has to unfold horrendous activities that the devil worked in someone's life through someone who should have never put that person in that position, amen? There's all kinds of abuses and things that can happen to people, and this is where the Lord is addressing right here. But then there is another kind of offense. And I want to talk to you about that for just a moment here. And I believe one of the best examples that will help frame this and us get to it is right here. Oh, yeah. Let's just go right here to Mark chapter 4 and verse 16. And it says, "These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground." And this scripture is all about the word being sown. "Who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it become unfruitful." I want you to understand that there is another kind of offense that we have to protect ourselves from. And this word offense has a lot of different meanings to it. But I want you to know that it can start in this arena. An offense is something, or to be offended is when someone's feelings are hurt. When you ruffle someone's feathers. I'm just trying to throw a bunch of terms out here so we can all understand what offense is. It is to be upset, displeased, distressed, to have a hurt or a wound or pain. It's to feel injured or disgruntled, put out, annoyed, irritated, but then it can increase because it says we could feel vexed or provoked or anger. To really be disgusted, sickened, or repulsed. To turn our stomachs or to inflict us physically. See, this is where offense starts leading us to the place where Satan can take advantage of us. And see, I want you to know something, that it's interesting that in the scripture I just read to you, people receiving the word and having the word sown into them speaks to the fact that the Lord is talking about Christians, not sinners. And I want you to know something, that we better have our awareness high if, as a believer, we're finding ourselves offendable. Now, listen to me. Offenses come in many different ways. I want you to know that sometimes great people start to get offended just because they're not getting their way. I want you to know that sometimes great people get offended because they've been waiting for something that hasn't taken place. Maybe they've even used their faith on something, but it hasn't taken place. And before you know it, offense can sit in. And I want you to know something. The devil looks for opportunities to offend you. And he looks for opportunities to see what your reaction is when something doesn't go your way. And I'm telling you that as a believer, you have to resolve by the authority of God that I am not going to be offendable. Amen. This is a key protection for all of us in these days, because I want you to know something, that the Bible says that as sin abounds, grace does so much more abound. And what that means is that especially as the pressure comes upon the kingdom of darkness, that their time is running short before the return of the Lord. I'm telling you, the Bible declares us that the Antichrist spirit is going to rise up in rage. You know, I won't tell you, I won't go into great detail about the person, but I will just tell you that while we were on vacation, there was a moment where Pastor Regina and I had to take a taxi. Usually we have our own vehicle, but we were in a situation where we had to take a taxi, and we had two complete different experiences. There was a guy that really took care of us, and I could sense that, you know, he cared about people and had a nature that would say that he was open to God. And then the other taxi driver, I'm telling you, at the beginning, boy, for a minute, I thought that they were a person that had that same nature. Because as soon as they got in the car, they said, oh, I feel so blessed. I feel blessed to have someone getting in the vehicle. And then within a couple seconds, they were using all kinds of superlatives and talking about someone. And I'm not saying it wasn't a bad situation, but I'm just telling you, they were just using language and terms that right away I thought, uh-oh, no, no, no. And I want you to understand something, that as believers, even when you are in tough situations, your nature shouldn't change. Boy, I feel like I could almost just start praying in the Holy Ghost. But the Bible says that when I'm preaching, I have to preach in a language that you can understand. Amen? And I want you to understand something. That what that means is that I don't get to be joyful and reflect Christ because I'm comfortable. I should stay joyful and reflect Christ even as persecution is a coming upon me because of what I believe. I want you to know that there's examples in the Bible where the disciples got thrown into the jail and you never saw them raging on the bar saying, what? You're throwing me in jail just because I believe in Jesus and I'm preaching Jesus? They weren't sitting there saying, you're throwing me in jail and treating me wrong when I haven't broken any laws and I haven't done any wrong. And here you are throwing me in jail, oppressing me, holding me back, not letting me do anything. No, what you find out is that when they were in jail, they were lifting up praises unto the Lord. Listen to me. Being offended doesn't mean that you're not going to feel the hurt. But being offended righteously means that you are not going to allow the hurt to move your character. Amen? That's why the Bible says this, pray for your enemies. It doesn't mean that you're not aware of your enemies. And also, even when we're forgiving people, it doesn't mean that we are saying what they did wasn't grievously wrong. Don't you think that for a moment. No, if the wrong happens, it hurts. It's real, and you should have never had to experience it. But what I'm talking about is a way to protect yourself, is to come up under the grace and the mercy of God so that you never find yourself attaching yourself to that offense in such a way that the devil could set a trap for you. Praise the Lord. I want you to know something. That sometimes the work of the devil just happens in very discreet ways. I mean, I'm telling you that sometimes you're already feeling bad. You didn't get enough sleep last night. The alarm clock went off too early. You're already tired. You're headed to work. You're worried because you ain't got enough money to pay your bills. You're worried because part of the reason you were up last night is because you and your spouse, I got to protect both the husband and the wife here, so I won't. I'm just saying, you and your spouse had a big disagreement last night, and you were worried and stressed about it. And then you get to work and things aren't going right. And then you get to work and someone says just one thing. It just sets in your heart. And the next thing you know, you got to work overtime when you thought you were going to be off. Or you got to work a shift when you thought you were going to be off. Or all these things happen. But if we're not careful, we will miss the fact that the scripture says the cares of this world can try to distract you from the goodness of God to the point that you are available now for the enemy. And I tell you what, if you're not careful, you will spin out of control and take yourself right out of the will of God. You know, we were fasting this week. And as I was sitting there with those guys fasting, we had a moment. And I just started looking around and I was so thankful because I thought about how Miss Regina and I went from walking in Piqua to sometimes being able to help other people out. Amen? And I was just sitting there thinking about where God brought us to. And the Lord started showing me moments that were pivotal in our life where we could have easily went the wrong direction. We could have easily stayed carnal. There was times where we could have easily left the church we were part of. We could have easily got mad. There's times where I could have made her so mad that she could have said, I'm out of here, and went back home. But the Lord was just showing me that one of the reasons why we're here today is that at times of hurt or offense, somehow we tuck that back up under God and we would make sure that we would never take our own action and do things our own way. I tell you what, I have seen way too many people that are just on the verge of getting their final breakthrough and breaking away from some battles that would finally be behind them and let them pursue God, and the enemy puts pressure and distraction in their way and causes them to move, leave, or fall back. Whew. See, what we forget is that in the Bible, without fail, the Lord shows you what happens when people tend to step in deeper with the Lord. How many times have you seen in the Bible where someone takes a next step, a deeper step towards God, and the first thing that happens is a season of adversity? Ooh. Anybody remember what happened to Joseph when he, out of his pursuit of God, had given him favor and He already had a coat of many colors, and he was just so respectful that he had a dream, and he went and submitted it to his father and was just asking for help. And what happened? He got thrown into a pit, almost killed by his brothers, and sold into slavery and then into prison and all kinds of stuff. Woo! What happened to Jesus? This day I'm anointed and appointed, but what happened to Jesus? When he stepped into the greatness of who he was, the first thing that happened was the enemy came and attacked him. And I just want you to know something, that in the season in which we live, it's going to become more and more important for you to define yourself as a Christian. And as it becomes more and more important for you to define yourself as a Christian, I want you to know adversity is going to come against you, but I also want you to know that the blessing of God is going to overtake you. And it is just critical. I can't say it enough. It just came upon me from the Lord that the Lord wanted me to just speak to you about not being offended. You know, I have seen people. You know, we were fasting this week, but it didn't stop the fact that during the fast, I saw someone get frustrated in a meeting. And so I went to them after the meeting, and I said, hey, is everything okay? And they were all upset about something they saw on Facebook. And I'm saying that to you, but I'm saying that to you in a way that I thought, wow, if Facebook can come into a holy time where we're fasting and seeking God and we can get irritated, man, we better pick our game up on a day-to-day basis. I'm telling you right now that there's many good Christians that their schedule is so busy right now that they've relaxed their prayer time. They've relaxed their Bible time. They got a lot of natural things going on, and we're always going to have a lot of natural things going on. But I'm telling you that one thing that you need to do is make sure that you're staying attached to God enough that you are not offendable and you're not easily movable. Let me read something to you. Whew. This is just such a popular scripture that I know people will say, oh yeah, I know what that says. And you do know what it says, but I really want to dig in here and just put something in your spirit. It says in Luke chapter 6, verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that rock, upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I want you to know that I've seen houses when I visited places that weren't built on great foundations, and guess what? They're already sinking and torn down. But you can find houses that were built hundreds of years ago, and because of the quality of the instruction, guess what? The structure is still there and still in great shape. I know people that restore houses and they say, hey, I can go into a house and it might not look the best to people, but in a quick time period, just looking at certain things, I can tell you the structure of that house is solid, and it's something that could easily be restored. And I also want you to know something, that in this comparison, Jesus didn't pick a house just out of happenstance. He picked it purposely because we as people understand that houses go through storms and rain and heat and cold year after year after year after year. And people will take a 30-year mortgage on a house. Why? Because they believe that 30 years from now, that house is still going to be standing. In fact, in some expensive neighborhoods, I found out because I got so frustrated one time because I thought, well, how in the world can they afford a house like that and pay it off in 30 years? Well, I want you to know that I found out that in some of those super big homes, guess what? You can get a 99-year mortgage. Why? Because they know that that house is not going to be there. And if you're rich enough, they know that you can have it. Didn't even know that, did you? My goodness. Well, let me tell you something. If they will give you money today at a bank for a natural thing that can stand for the next 30 years, guaranteed, then what do we have in Christ? See, there should be an arena of faith and prayer and taking things to the Lord that there should be nothing that can shake us out of the kingdom of God. Amen. Woo. And I want you to know something. I wish it wasn't so. But the Bible says, guess what? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Bible says that in this world, we will have tribulation. One thing that you have to do as a believer is you have to get to the point where you decide like Paul did. There's times when I have been abased, which means I've almost had nothing, and there's times when I have abounded and had great blessing. But I've learned, no matter where I am, I'm content. Why? Because I want you to know something. I truly believe that God wants you to be blessed on this earth. The Bible says that he wants us to have a hundredfold. God wants you to be blessed and live peace and joy and all that stuff on this earth. But also, he wants you to understand that if you were to lack something, don't get so offended that you lose your connection with him and that you miss heaven. Because I tell you what, the things we suffer here on this earth is not worthy to be equated with eternity and everlasting life that's going to go on and on in the joy of the Lord without end. Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you that this is a season for us as believers to pick our game up and to refresh ourselves. You know, I was working with someone, and they said, you know, I have become so frustrated that I have to completely turn the news off. I don't even pay attention. I can't even take it anymore. And I'm not saying this in a mean way, but at the same time I heard that, I heard the Lord say, somehow we've got to be able to be stronger enough in him that even news can't cause me to lose faith in God's ability to do the miraculous in the middle of anything. See, because I want you to know, I don't ever want to get so frustrated that I check out early and maybe miss my opportunity to leave one soul behind. Remember, if you get in unity with the Lord, you'll find that the Bible says that the Lord tarries his coming because he wants to reap as many souls as he possibly can. It's not because he doesn't care. It's not because he doesn't love us. And let me tell you something. It may not be your child that he's waiting for, because maybe your child's already saved. But if you were the person who had a loved one who wasn't ready, I tell you what, you'd be wanting the grace to see it done. One thing that's so critical in our life as Christians is my salvation is not just for me. My salvation is for others. So that means that in my salvation, I might not get my way. When do I get my way? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's foods I ain't ate in years just because someone wouldn't want that to come into their house. Amen. Praise God. But anyhow, anyhow, what I'm saying is listen to me. Your salvation isn't just for you. Your salvation can help others find the kingdom. So let's make sure that we never check out and become those people that say, well, I don't do this. And it's just offense and hurt. You know, I was on vacation and I heard someone telling me how they had given up every denomination from this one to Pentecostal to this and that. And they were to the point where they were just having their own relationship with God. Now, this story was feathered with fruits that did not confirm salvation to me. But I still prayed for them and believed them, and I didn't argue with them and I didn't fight them. But I did say, Lord, I pray that I never get so offended that I'm blind to what you say in your Bible about what is right and what is wrong. And if I'm going to say I love you, there are things that I can do and things that I can't do. Amen? So I want you to know that this is a season where I believe that the Lord really wants us to be aware of the fact that we cannot be easily offendable. You know, I was sitting there, and sometimes as a pastor, you know you're preaching what God wants you to do, and he confirms it, but every now and then somebody just gives you something, and I was so thankful tonight because I asked someone, hey, man, have you been having a good week? Did you have a good day? And they said, yes, I had a great day. And I said, you did? That's really good. They said, well, what I mean is I've determined that whether it looks like or feels like or seems like or whether it was really a good day or not, I've decided that I'm going to have a good day. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Dave, for your faith. I want you to know something, that's what it comes down to, right? As believers, we have to come to the point where we say, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I'm going to thank God, and I'm going to let God help me when it ain't good. And I'm still going to declare that it's good. Why? Because my trust is in him. And you know what? I trust that he's going to bring me out. Amen. Praise God. I tell you what, I better save the next scripture for next week. It's really good and powerful. But I tell you, if I get into it, I'll have us here probably till midnight. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray, God, for every one of us, God, everyone in this sanctuary and everybody watching live on stream, Father, I just pray that, God, we would go to you and we'd ask you, Father, to keep us from being offendable, God. To protect us, Lord, to strengthen us, Father. Lord, that we could be like Jesus. When they railed against him, he didn't rail back, Father. Lord, when they reviled against him, he didn't revile back, Father. And Lord, I pray that, God, we would learn how to do things in your way, God. and by your Spirit so that we can navigate tough times filled with peace and not stress. I pray that we can navigate tough times filled with peace and not anger, God. For the Bible says that even when we're angry, there's a way to be angry and not sin. And God, you're going to help us, Father, so that we can stay in that place of peace, in that place of perfect love that will cast out all fear. Lord, we just exalt you and lift you up and declare your goodness. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, right now, I just put Larry before you, God. And Lord, we know that he went through surgery today, God. And we thank you for what was done on his knee. But God, we know that there were some other complications, God. But Lord, right now, we just pray in the name of Jesus that you would loose the working of miracles and gifts of healing, and it would flow into that situation right now in Jesus' name. Father, and I just put Haley and Phil before you, God. There are some things that they went through, God, and Lord, I just thank you that even now you're bringing resolution and help, God. And Father, I pray for some of those who are not here tonight, those who are finishing processes that they have to, God, and God, that you're just releasing healing on them, Father. And Lord, I just thank you for touching lives, God, and for being with us in everything we do. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Whew. You know, I'm just excited because I know that people determined to use their faith today. I know that there's people here that felt a stirring in their spirit that they needed to come and that God would do something. And I want you to know that whenever you reverence and make room in your life for God, the supernatural of his goodness is going to touch you. Amen? Praise the Lord. God bless you. Glad that you're here. Boy, excited to see you guys, and I'll be excited to see you Sunday morning. Amen? Amen.